Good morning, everybody. Before we get going, do I sound really loud, or is it just me? Okay, all right, here we go. Before we get started on today's message, this last Christmas, we were able to help a family, incredibly help a family who was in need. And I told you that I had a friend of mine that worked for SNAP, and he was able to connect us with that person. Well, my good buddy John is here, and he works for SNAP, and he was able to put us together with that family. And so I've known John for probably 15 to 20 years, and he was a huge blessing in helping us get that family blessed for Christmas time. So give him a big hug. He loves to hug, actually. Just say hello to him. All right, this last week I was in my studies, and whenever I do just reading the Bible, there's times that I spend in the scriptures where I am in study mode. I am studying scripture for certain things, very specific. And then there are other times when I just pick up my Bible. Usually it's in the morning when things are very quiet and I can get my coffee. And before I open my Bible, I always hold it and say, okay, Lord, what do you want? I think I just dropped an earring. So if you're missing one earring, we'll find it. I pick up my Bible and I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to hear today? What do you want to say to me today? Because if this is his word for us, then I believe that we can ask him, what do you want me to see today? What do you want me to read today? And so I just felt him impress on my heart Romans. It's like, okay, I've read it a million times. I doubt that there's anything new in there, but here we go. And you know, it doesn't take God long to prove me wrong. And so we're going to start today, and this is a letter that Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, both Gentile and Jew, as an encouragement. But he was saying, I want to see you. I want to come to you. Paul often wrote letters and sent them ahead, but he often addressed them by saying, I hope to come to see you soon. And face-to-face contact was very important to Paul. He got more out of face-to-face and interacting and being with people. And so in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, he said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Now remember, Paul wrote many of the letters in the New Testament. And one of the letters that he sent was to the church in Corinth. And I thought it was interesting that he said, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. He didn't name a certain gift, he just said some spiritual gift. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and I'm reading out of the NASB, where he actually does make a list of spiritual gifts. He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. So he gives us a pretty extensive list of gifts of the Spirit. Does he not? He says that he lists them out. Here are these gifts, the different gifts that that come by the Holy Spirit. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. It's interesting that he didn't list it out, what that gift is. Yet in 1 Corinthians, he does. And so what I wanted to do is I want to go today through this list in 1 Corinthians and kind of explain a little bit, because some of this may be foreign to you. What does he mean, gifts of tongues and interpretations of tongues and all these things? So I thought we'd just kind of go a brief overview of the things that he lists here. The first one, he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. I want to back up a little bit here. He gives these gifts to different people. So we all have different giftings. One, he gives one, and he may not give it to another person. And he goes later on in 1 Corinthians, and he says, you know what? The greatest gift of all? Love. He explains all the things, and in fact, he takes, I believe, chapter 13, 11 and 13, to talk about specifically gift of tongues. But then in the middle, sandwiched in the middle, he goes, but let me tell you the greatest gift. And he says, focus on love. So these gifts are to assist us. Hey, tell that kid to be quiet. These gifts are given to us not for our benefit, but for the benefit of someone else. So when he gives all these different gifts to different people, it is better to have that group of people together, working together, encouraging one another, lifting one another up, and exercising those gifts, because then those gifts are beneficial to the other people, correct? So if God gave someone, let's just say that I needed a word of wisdom today. And we're going to talk a little bit about word of wisdom. But what if I needed a word of wisdom? And God sets up and he says, okay, I have gifted Belinda with a word of wisdom. Well, Belinda's not here. So that word of wisdom cannot be passed on to me because she's not here. You see, when we have those gifts individually, and when we do not meet together regularly, those gifts are unable to be used by God. Because the person is not there, the recipient may be there, but the person with the gift is not there to deliver that gift. You see, we don't just gather together to punch a time card, to get our get out of hell free card, or a card that we punch notches in, and when we get to the pearly gates, we go, look how many notches I got in my card. For I'm definitely getting in. That's not what it's about. So let's go back into these the different gifts. The first one, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. A word of wisdom is something that God gives to a certain person to give to someone else, usually, when they need it most. You see, wisdom is knowledge and the appropriate application of that knowledge. That's wisdom. How to use that knowledge. How best to put that into action. You see, just knowing the Bible doesn't do you any good if you do not know how to wisely apply what you know. Does that make sense? So words of wisdom. And I often have people come to me and they say, what should I do? I'm not sure what path I should take in this. And usually I do not say, oh, you need to do this. What I do say is, this is what the Word says. And this is where you're at. You decide. Because if you choose wrongly, you're the one that's going to suffer the consequences and not me. So a word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to a certain person, and it may be for you. God, what do I do? What do I do in this circumstance? Should I take this job or should I not take this job? I've been praying for this. Should I follow this path or should I not follow this path? And when we seek Him, and the Bible says if we seek Him with all of our heart, that He will be found. And He says, if any of you lack wisdom, you don't know quite what to do, ask. You see, we have a Heavenly Father who sees the entire chessboard. We can see one or two moves ahead. He sees the entire thing. He knows what's down every path that we choose. And when we ask Him to guide us in those things, He will do so. He will do so. But He will never go against His character, and He'll never tell you to do something that's against His word. Ever. Amen?
Amen.
So that is a word of wisdom through the Spirit. And to another, a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is something that you receive by the Holy Spirit that you did not know prior. When you're talking with someone else and you have a moment where you have a revelation of some information that you didn't know before, that is a word of knowledge that God has given to you. I remember one time years ago here in this church, there was a couple that was going through some difficult times, and Belinda was, she was counseling with the wife, and I was counseling with the husband, and there was a certain issue with the wife, and I wasn't aware of it, but Belinda was. And one night I was brushing my teeth, praying for their marriage and everything, and all of a sudden, God dropped into my head some information that I had not prior to that. And I stopped brushing my teeth, and I went into to talk to Belinda, and I says, the issue is not this. The issue is this. And she looked at me like, how in the world did you know that? And I says, well, I was just brushing my teeth. But it was a word of knowledge, something that I had not learned or known before, that God gave me, and then we were able to effectively go at the real problem. Because oftentimes in a marriage or a relationship, it seems like this is the problem, when the reality, this is just a symptom of this. So a word of knowledge is something that God gives you through His Spirit that is information that you did not have prior. Oftentimes, when I counsel, God will drop these things into my head. And it is like, and the person looks at you like, how'd you know that? Well, I got a counselor for me, and he's very helpful. So that is a word of knowledge. Word of wisdom through the Spirit, another word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, faith, it says in the Bible, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is the salvation faith. But God has given, through His Holy Spirit, a supernatural faith where no matter what the circumstances are surrounding you, you're like, you know what? I serve a big God. I don't care what the circumstances say. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care about any of that. And you have a incredible amount of faith, and it's you know that you know that you know, even though it doesn't look like you know what you're talking about. When certain things get very difficult, God will impart supernatural faith to you to get you through that. We were talking about Joshua today in our discipleship class, and in Joshua chapter 1, God told Joshua multiple times, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed. Do not fear. Be strong and very courageous. Because what God was telling him to do was lead millions of people to take over a land filled with people who wanted to kill them. And God says, before you go in, you need to make sure that you are strong and courageous. I am with you. And we see him grow in that faith to the point where he begins teaching the leaders and the chiefs and the elders to be strong and courageous. You see, what God told Joshua to do when he was taking over his first city of Jericho, God says, I'll go before you. I'll take care of it, but you need to do what I tell you to do. So he amasses his army. He gets all the Levites and the priests out in front. They walk around the walls of Jericho, and God says, don't say anything. And then other times, okay, I want you to sing while you walk around the walls of Jericho. Can you imagine? You're leading 1 million people, 2 million, 3 million people, to take over a fortified city, well-established, who hate you. And he says, I want you to walk around the city. And that's it. Then go back to your encampment. What in the world? Can you imagine the generals at that time going, that's stupid. Because what happens when you walk close to a wall of a city that you're about to take over? They throw things on top of you. Correct? Yet you're telling us to just walk around a wall, sometimes singing, sometimes with our mouth shut, and just walk around the wall. That's dumb. We need a new leader. Hello? But he does it. And what happens? He says, I want you to walk around the wall 7 times. And then when you get to the 7th time, I want you everyone to give out a shout. That sounds very stupid as well. But you know what? He had faith in his God. And I believe God gave him supernatural faith to get him through that very first test. Because when they shouted, the walls came down. And they went in and they took over the city. By means that just do not make sense in our natural minds. So there are times when God will impart supernatural faith in you, no matter what your circumstances are, to follow him and what he says to do, even when it goes against every part of your natural fiber. And every thought process just does not compute. Sometimes God will do that to put you into a place where he wants you to be, which is totally dependent on him. Amen? So that is supernatural faith. By the same Spirit and to another, gifts of healing. By the one Spirit. Gifts of healing are just exactly what it says. You have the ability that God uses you to touch certain people and they will be healed. I have prayed for this gift. I do not have this gift. I really want this gift. But the more I look at it, the more I want it is because of it would be cool. Am I right? It would be cool to be able to reach out your hand or touch someone and see them healed instantly. And I think that's why I am not a healer, gifted with the gifts of healing, because I go through hospitals every day. I'd be laying hands on everybody. But we even see Jesus, when he healed people, he was often in the midst of many people that needed healing, but he only healed one. He did things according to his Father's will. He didn't heal everybody in the pool. He healed one person. He did what God told him to do. And I would probably fight with God going, this person really needs it, Lord. Let me just go lay my hands on them. And then I'll just run out so I won't tell them who I am. We all have masks on so they won't know me. No, he's not given that to me. So there you go. But there are people who have gifts of healing. To the another, the effecting of miracles. This would be a cool one too. I have seen miracles, but I was not an instrument in it. But I think we have to realize that there are miracles that happen on a daily basis that we're not even aware of. We don't even notice them. And when we do notice them, cherish them. Thank God for them. But there are people who have gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. All right, let's see. And to another, prophecy. I do believe this is a twofold thing. It says in the Bible that when you speak a word from the Bible into a certain situation, you are actually prophesying God's word into that situation. Now, prophecy also includes those who foretell future events. This is probably one of the most fraudulent gifts that are out there today. We have a lot of people who proclaim to be prophets, who proclaim to have a word from God and put that out on social media. If you go into YouTube and you put in prophet of God, there are thousands upon thousands of people who declare to be a prophet of God. And it's interesting how many Christians will glom on to these prophets. Oh, did you see so-and-so? Da, 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 da. And the first thing that I do is I ask them, how is their track record? How are they doing in their prophecies? Because in Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 19, it says, if someone proclaims to have a word from the Lord and that word does not come to pass, that person is not one of my prophets and he does not speak for me. Have nothing to do with that person. And many people who love these prophets will say, well, he prophesied that this was going to happen. Well, he prophesied 10,000 things in one hit. My Bible says don't have anything to do with them. Because a prophet of God is going to bat 1,000. Perfect. No missteps, no miscues, no nothing. That is a prophet of God. And so you go through YouTube and you look at any of these, and if they prophesied something and it did not come to pass, that is not a prophet of God. So have nothing to do with them. But it amazes me how many people glom on and follow these people. It's like, how about you just pick up your Bible instead of following after these people? They may have good intentions in their heart, but when you proclaim that you are a prophet from God, that's a whole different ballgame. That is a serious statement. And if you make that statement, then you have to fulfill what the Bible says about who the prophets are. And we have the right and actually the command to discern between these. You see, if we begin to stray from the Word of God, I don't know if you've read Revelation or some of the parts of the apocalyptic letters or phrases or paragraphs in the New Testament or the Old Testament for that matter. But it says that there is a day is coming when false teachers and false prophets will rise up. They will tell you what you want to hear. It will go against the Word of God. There are people who call themselves the New Apostolic Reformation, that they are super apostles. that they have information and revelation from God that may not be found in the Scriptures. I got a problem with that. Yet we are to discern these things. Discern these people, because it says that in the last days, when the Antichrist shows up, he's going to do miracles. He's going to do healings. He's going to do some really cool stuff. And there are going to be millions of people who follow him just for the miracles. You know, there was a large group of people that followed Jesus when he was doing his miracles. And he says, "You brood of vipers, you're only here to see the show." Those days are coming again. They are coming again. So that is prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. This is so very important, especially in the days that we're living in right now. And so much needed and so much lacking in the Christian church today. The distinguishing of spirits. Because there are spirits, clean and unclean, and I'm talking about the unclean ones, that will come and whisper into your ear things that you want to hear. And their intent is to lead you away from your relationship with God. There are certain things that I have heard in the church that people have said that goes against doctrine. And I have confronted. And it doesn't take long before they leave. Because they can't back up what they're teaching and what they're saying and what they're spreading to other people. Because it's not biblical. Discerning of spirits, the spirit's main intent is to divide. It is to divide the church at its core. Because once you can get the church fighting against itself, it becomes too busy to fight against the real enemy. We have bickering going on in the churches. We have division going on in the churches. And it's crazy on some of the things that divides churches. Some people don't like the color of carpet. Some people don't like black chairs. Some people don't like the music. It's too loud. It's, the music isn't loud enough. Da, 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 da. It's amazing what deal breakers are for people who attend a church. Absolutely amazing. So the distinguishing of spirits is especially important, and I believe that God gives this to pastors. Because as a shepherd, it is our job to protect the flock. It is our job to make sure that when a wolf shows up, that we know who the wolf is, so that we can protect our family. So that is distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. This is probably the most controversial of the gifts, according to the Scriptures, especially as much time as Paul spent dealing with it, because in the early church, it became very fraudulent. I believe that it is very fraudulent today. Listen to me very, very carefully. There are all of these gifts that God has given. I don't think that there are any that are not around today. Why would he continue with other gifts and not continue with all of the gifts? So, speaking in tongues, when it is Holy Spirit driven, is very much a part of the church. Okay? I am not saying that it doesn't happen, that it's fraudulent, all the cases. What I am saying is most of what I have seen with my own eyes has been fake. And that's where the distinguishing of the spirits comes in, because A lot of times it is. When it first happened in Jerusalem, in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came on those who were in that room. They went out and spoke to thousands of people in the streets, Jews. Now you have to understand the geography of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a hub that all of these people had to come to during the appointed festivals. It was during one of these appointed festivals, it was the Pentecost, that they all were gathered in Jerusalem because that was what they were to do. So you had Jews from all over that region. And in those regions, they spoke different languages. They spoke Greek, they spoke Hebrew, they spoke Aramaic. And so they were multilingual, basically. So what happens when all these people gather and the men from the upper room come and begin to preach the gospel of what had just happened with Jesus Christ? All these men began to get the realization that I hear them speaking in my tongue. And so they started talking, what do you hear him speaking in, Akkadian? What do you hear him speaking in, Hebrew? What do you hear him speaking in, Greek? Yet it was the same mouth. Yet the ears all heard differently according to where they had come from. That was the proof of speaking in tongues at that time. It was a known language. Now, the Bible does talk about the language of angels and does talk about people speaking something that they will not understand, but the Holy Spirit understands. But that brings us to the next gift, various kinds of tongues, and another, the interpretation of tongues. You see, the Bible says you are not to speak in a congregation of people in tongues, and if you do, there's not supposed to be more than two or three to speak in that tongue, and there has to be an interpreter or an interpretation of those tongues. So it is alive and well. It is a bona fide gift of the Holy Spirit that I do not believe stopped in the early church. I believe it's still active today. Amen? Okay. Various kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. You see, it says to desire the greater gifts. Paul encourages people to do that. And it's okay to want a gift. But let me tell you this. When I was a kid, I was waiting to go to Park Pool down here by Centennial Middle School. It's on Park and Broadway. And we were going to go swimming at Park Pool. Is there still a pool there? I think there is. Yeah. So I was waiting, and it cost a dime. So I had a dime, my sisters had a dime, and my other sister had a dime. And we were waiting for our ride to show up. So we had our towels and everything. We were ready to go, and I was holding on to my dime. And my mom says, keep it in your bag so you don't lose it. Okay, Mom. Well, I take it out, and I'm playing with it, and I'm waiting for my ride. And I dropped it in the grass. And I don't know if you've ever dropped something small, kind of like that, in the grass. It's hard to find. I couldn't find it. And so I went back inside. I says, Mom, I can't find my dime. Can I have a quarter? And she goes, Son, If I can't trust you with a dime, why would I give you a quarter? And that's the same way with the Holy Spirit. When he gives us a gift, we are to use that gift to bless other people. But if we are receiving that gift and putting it on a shelf and not using it, and we go back to God and say, God, I want this gift. God's reply is, why would I give you this gift if you don't even use the one that's sitting on the shelf? So if you want the greater gifts and desire the greater gifts, use the ones he's already given you. Show that you can handle those gifts, because you ain't getting another one until you learn how to use that one. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And back to Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. I long to see you so that I may impart to you not a word of wisdom, not a word of knowledge, not a word of faith, not a gift of healing, not miracles, some spiritual gift to make you strong. And then it goes on to say, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You see, here is Paul. Paul. He is longing to see the people in Rome. And he says, so that I may impart some spiritual gift. That spiritual gift is being encouraged by each other's faith. You see, Paul received a gift of encouragement by meeting with those people on a regular basis, face to face. And he says, I don't have this incredible gift that I just want to give you. I want to receive what God has given you for me. And that can only happen face to face. It can't happen through a text. It can't happen through a phone call. It happens when you gather together face to face. And I can bless you and you can bless me. Because if you're not here, and I am, I'm getting robbed of what God has given you for me. And if I'm not here, you're getting robbed. I don't know about you, I hated not having church 2 weeks ago. Hated it. It just felt completely wrong to me. I believe it was the right thing to do, but it didn't mean that I liked it. Why? Because I don't get the chance to meet with you face to face. This is when I get that chance and that opportunity. And if you're not here on one Sunday, I don't get that opportunity. You see, you're not just pew sitters. Your gift is, there is no such gift by the Holy Spirit given to man that is sitting in a black chair. Ooh, I'm exercising my gift today. Wrong. No, each and every one of us receive gifts so that we can bless and encourage one another. And it is mutual. It's reciprocating. It's not just everyone come and be blessed by me. I don't have that much power. Seriously. But when we come and meet face to face, I am blessed by you, and hopefully you are blessed by me. But that is the some spiritual gift that Paul's talking about. It only happens when we gather together. You see, church is not supposed to be a building where people congregate. The church is the people inside the building. These are just walls that, thank God we have them, because it's cold outside. And when it rains, we don't get wet. I don't know if you remember, before we got the new roof, we would have buckets. And we would find out, oh, we got another one over here, so we'd rope off that section and put a bucket there. That is a blessing, that we have a roof that actually works. But it's not about the building, it's about the people. It's about the family. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, and I've said this a million times, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You see, attendance or gathering together as the family became a problem in the early church. No wonder it's a problem now. Some people like the fact that they can just sit home, click on Facebook, and watch a message. And if that's the only way that you can get a message, then God bless you. God bless, it's better than nothing. But you are not receiving the some spiritual gift that Paul talks about in Romans. It can't happen over a live stream. It can't. It can't happen over a text. It's impossible. Now, I understand that there are people who are staying home, and God bless them. We heard from Jan Villegas, and she has been staying home, and she just says, I can't wait to get back with my church family. I miss my church family. And that there should be a feeling of missing something when you can't gather. You see, there are certain people who cannot gather. They're not able to do it. Yet there are others who are able-bodied and they choose not to gather. I've heard so many people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in church. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because being a Christian is being part of a spiritual family. You can't separate the two. It's what you do. My kids sometimes, when they were growing up, it's like, do we have to go to church? I says, no, we don't have to, but we get to. It's part of who we are. It's not what we do, it's who we are. And it should be a part of who we are. Because according to the scriptures, it is what we are to do. We are to gather. And I love this last part, and I never really connected with me. It says, some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You notice that day is capitalized? That means it is a certain day. When it is capitalized, and it was capitalized in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, in Jeremiah, when they talked about the day of the Lord, it is the day of His return. And He says, especially all the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but if you've ever read Revelation or Jesus' parables about the kingdom of heaven and what it's going to be like in the last days, it looks really familiar to what's going on right now in our country and in our world. And it seems like as the day is approaching, more and more people are refusing to get together. And when you do that, you are not going to be encouraged. You are going to be picked off by the enemy. You see, my Bible says the enemy prowls around like a lion, looking to whom he can destroy and devour. That's what the enemy does. You ever watched Wild Kingdom? That's what the lions do. They circle around and they wait for the smaller ones to go off on their own, and those are the ones they pick off. You ever seen a pride of lions? When the hyenas try to get in to the midst of them, or elephants, when they surround the baby one? I saw this one mama elephant kick the living tar out of a lion because they were all surrounding the small one. They were gathering together to protect one another. The church, as the day gets closer, needs to be more and more connected than ever before. Than ever before. You see, there are things that Christians used to get away with that when it gets down to serious time, it's not going to do you any good. We're going to need one another. We're going to need those connections to family, because the day is coming when all hell's going to break loose. And it is our job to impart some spiritual gift in our churches here at New Hope Christian Center. That's why it's so important to continue meeting together, so that we can encourage one another and lift one another up. Because the day is approaching. And when it gets closer and closer, we need to discern the season, and we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Amen? Please stand. You know, I find it really interesting if you read the gospel account of Jesus and how he lived his life, and especially the last 3.5 years. He chose to live with his apostles. They did everything together. And when he ascended into heaven, he says, make sure that you teach people to obey everything that I've commanded you, everything that I have shown you. You see, Jesus could have just handed out some pamphlets and said, okay, these are the rules, I want you to follow them. But he didn't. He lived life with those people. And they taught those things to the early church as well. That it's about living life together. Not just showing up, but living life together. Growing more and more as a cohesive unit, as a family. And then Paul, he goes on and he does the same thing. He encourages people. And he talked about Jesus and says, well, you know what? It was his habit to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. That's just what he did. It was important to him, Jesus, as a Jew, to go to the synagogue. And Paul was constantly gathering people around him. He had a mission to do. But he did it with people. And if Jesus needed to do that by connecting with people, and if Paul needed to do that by connecting with people, how much more do we need that? That was the Son of God, and if you were to rank the apostles, Paul's got to be top two, top three. And it was important to them to impart some spiritual gift to others. It should be just as important to us. It should be just as important to every person who calls himself a Christian, because that is part of who you are. It is simply being obedient to what God has called us to do. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can gather together. What a blessing it is. And I pray for those who are at home who cannot make it in, Lord. Let your Spirit be there. And we do look forward to the time when we will be reunited once again. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this family. Thank you for your word. As it is, it encourages us, it corrects us, it teaches us, it rebukes us, and it teaches us to be more and more like your Son. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Help us to be obedient to all of your word. And we pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed.